It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Back here on 96.5 The Fan, it is a Tuesday morning. Damn glad to have you. Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens, Mac Moore. Your home for Chiefs football, K-State athletics, Royals baseball, Ferns on Deck show. Tonight, 5:30 start. I know you're frustrated. I know you're angry. But they're still a playoff team, and they're a playoff team at 4.5 games.
That's right. They're still a playoff team, and they're still going to be a playoff team, and a lot of it has to do with the competition that is around you. The only wild card to me in all of this is going to be Detroit. I'm not really sure how they are. Honestly, guys, I have not watched much Tigers baseball this year. Has anybody? Mac, are you consuming a lot of that? I don't know.
No.
If you're consuming Tiger baseball, I don't know a lot of people that are consuming Tiger baseball, but all of a sudden you look at it and you're like, hey, wait a second here. Detroit's only 5 games back now. Where did they come from, right? We kind of talked about them a little bit last week or the week before that they're starting to play some better ball. Mm-hmm. But the Boston Red Sox are a dog right now. Like, they are just absolutely woof, woof. And there's no way that the Boston Red Sox are going to beat out the Kansas City Royals for a postseason berth. At least that's the way I'm feeling right now. Now, obviously, things can change as the week goes along. But I think right now that the Royals are still the better team than the Red Sox are right now. But the Tigers, that's an interesting wild card to be thrown into the mix, but I still don't see them overcoming the Royals. A 4.5 game lead to go with 25 games is a pretty sizable lead. You essentially have to lose out for the next 5 days, and Boston has to win for the next 5 days for them to jump you in the standings. Is that possible? Sure, anything's possible. Is it likely? It's not real likely based on the way that the Red Sox are playing right now either.
Right, Detroit playing the San Diego Padres.
Yeah.
For some reason, I don't know why, I haven't looked at it too much, but they don't play today, but they play Wednesday and Thursday.
Okay, so this is what happened in baseball. They wanted to play on Labor Day because there was somebody else I was listening to. Oh, Houston has played yesterday, then had an off day today, and then play. And the reason is they wanted to play on Labor Day, but still give their guys off, so they're giving them the Labor Day holiday to draw big attendance to the ballpark because a lot of people were off yesterday.
Gotcha.
And then you take Tuesday off as the off day instead of having Monday as the off day. So you're playing a 3-game series over the course of 4 days as opposed. So it makes sense from that standpoint, which I kind of applaud Major League Baseball for. You know, you're going to have people off that want something to do. Don't take Monday off because it's normally been what everybody does. Have a game, play it on Monday where you know you can draw a big crowd. Tuesday, generally crowds are smaller because it's Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And so you take Tuesday off and then gear back up Wednesday and Thursday for the rest of that series. I kind of like that by Major League Baseball. Something a little bit different that we haven't seen before.
The Vinny Pasquantino injury was not catastrophic, I would say, yet. It seems like it is over the last 6 games. But, man, you really felt for the guy when you heard his press conference.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I don't want to think about it too much because I want to be a guy the Royals can count on to be here. And I haven't been that. And that, like, that's the part that is so upsetting for me is it's like, you know, when I close my eyes and envision what my career could look like in Kansas City, I want it to be, a long one and a healthy one. And thus far, every year something has happened, which every year something happens to everybody, right? This one's a little different than the shoulder because it was a actual play. And it was just trying to make a play. So, in that regards, like, that's where I get the most upset, where it's like, man, you know, I just want to be out there and just be able to help and things like this happen. And it's like, you know, what do I got to do, you know, to just, and there's nothing I could have done. It's kind of funny, like, right after it happened, you know, there's a few people that tweeted at me immediately and said, if I knew how to play first base, this wouldn't have happened.
Oh,
I don't regret the play that happened. I don't know what I did wrong. So to those guys, like, I wish you could give me a solution instead of just the problem. But it happened. I'm going to continue to fight to be here and to, you know, to be a productive major league player and to help this team get to the playoffs and try to win championships.
If
so
you...
it sucks right now, but I'm going to do whatever I can to change that.
Go ahead.
I got to be careful here. If you tweeted to Vinny after he got hurt that he doesn't know how to play first base, you are a horse's ass wrapped in a loser, topped with another horse's ass. Who is sitting around tweeting to a Major League Baseball player that they don't know how to play first base? Like you do, pal, right? Like, come out of the basement every once in a while, put the keyboard down, and try to do something athletic. You will understand how hard it is. I know we joke about first base and, oh, the fat kid plays there and all that kind of stuff, because I did and I was the fat kid and all that.
Big Al, I hate dingers.
Yeah, right, exactly. Like, Big Al's playing first. And
I think he's skinny now.
But if and I hear he's doing very well for himself. If you are a guy that is sitting there and tweeting to an athlete or tweeting to Vinny Pasquantino that they don't know how to play first base, you really are a horse's ass. And I really feel sorry for you, because you clearly need some kind of outlet or something in your life, the fact that you're tweeting to a Major League Baseball player. Mm-hmm. But what Vinny said there does jump out, though, because he said, I want to be that guy that this organization can rely on, and I haven't been that. And that, to me, like, I'm thinking about him, like, when Vinny plays, he's really, really good, and he does a nice job for this team. But he's right. He truly hasn't been that guy. Missed basically all of last year, and now is missing the most important part of the season. Some guys are injury prone. Some guys you feel like had a nice career, but what they could have been if they didn't suffer injuries. I know we always go back to Bo Jackson and things like that. I hope Vinny Pasquantino is not going down that route of every year something big happens where we go, damn, if we just had Vinny, because I hate the fact that he said that, and I wasn't even thinking about the fact that he wasn't available, because last year was such a bad season, it wouldn't have mattered anyway. But now he's like, 2 years in a row, I'm not available to my team. I hope that doesn't get into his head.
Well, he does have a good support system.
Yeah, I was a wreck. Not my proudest moments, just because it was, you know, I felt sorry for myself, and I probably did for about an hour. And then, you know, Sal talked to me, and Sal was the most direct person with me, and it helped a lot. Of just, I got to get over how I feel about myself right now. It happened. You can't go back and change it. So what can I do to help in the future? So the conversation that I had with Sal, which I will keep to myself, was super important for me, because he's been through it too, you know, with season enders, and he helped me a lot talking to different guys on the team. My wife, my parents, just seeing my dog when I got home helped, because he doesn't care if I'm healthy or not. So yeah, I'm lucky to have a great support system around me, and the coaches have been great. Training staff's been great. Sam's been great. You guys have been great. So it's like, you know, I'm very fortunate. This sucks, but the people around me, you know, are lifting me up, not dragging me down. So just going to do what I can to help in the meantime and try to get back as efficiently as I can.
That's as raw as you've ever heard an athlete, man.
Right?
I enjoy listening to Vinny talk about what he's going through, because I think at times we forget there's a human element to a lot of these athletes. Well, to all of these athletes, there's a human element to, but sometimes we forget that. We get so caught up in, you know, oh, they can do anything. They're just an athlete. They're just a guy in a uniform. You forget about that human side and what Vinny has to be going through from a mental standpoint too, you know, is that I was there, I was playing great, we were on our way to doing something special, and I got hurt. Like, I hope Vinny doesn't wear this, that it's like all his fault now that they've lost six in a row, and takes it to, you know, Vinny's still a very important part of this team. Vinny needs to understand that everybody's got his back around here, and we're going to support Vinny, you know, for as much as we possibly can. I hope he doesn't wear this thing too much and really let it affect himself.
And I don't think he will, because I think the supported can become the biggest supporter, because he says, you know, he says all the right things.
I'm just one guy, and we all know in baseball that one player doesn't make or break anything with the team. So it's a team of 28 guys now, and if that team is pulling the same rope, then you got a shot, and I know that this team is pulling the same rope. So you just got to go in and do your job, keep passing the baton, keep having good at-bats, keep moving runners, keep getting guys in from third, just doing the little things right. You do the little things right with this team, you're going to be in a good spot. So, and like we've talked about, like, this team has nothing but fight in it. So they're going to keep fighting, keep doing the little things right, keep playing the game the right way, keep playing hard, and see where we are come the end of the year.
go be the biggest cheerleader, man.
Yeah, let's go.
Sometimes I saw the text line said maybe you can have Hosmer come in here and give a locker room speech. That ain't Hosmer's job. Yeah. That's now Vinny Pasquantino's job. You can't play, but you can make your presence felt and you get this team fired up. And then when they see somebody who is pining to be out there and be supportive, and he's in that dugout after his surgery with the cast or whatever it is on his hand, getting the guys ready to go and getting them all prepped up, that can open up some eyes. And that's what this team will get. They'll get a spark at some point, and they'll turn things around because, they, like you said, they're going to fight. They know what they're doing. They know they're capable of. They're a playoff team. And again, you can listen to that playoff team tonight starting at 5:30 on Vern's On Deck show, first pitch at 6:40 against the Cleveland Guardians. You can hear all of that on your home for Kansas City sports at 96.5 The Fan. Coming up on the other side, Danon Hughes time, baby. Chiefs season officially kicks off. Danon Hughes will be here on the radio show that you listen to called Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan. It is your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
Back here on 96.5 The Fan, Dusty Likens, Bob Fesco, Mac Morey. We call this show Fesco and Dusty and Mac.
I didn't know we threw that in there. That's great.
We just did. Called an audible.
Gotcha.
Tuesday. That's what day of the week it is.
Oh, it's Taco Tuesday. Oh, my God. I almost forgot because yesterday was a holiday.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, a little Taco Tuesday action.
No doubt about it. That could mean whatever you want it to mean.
Go see my friend Ryan over at Cactus Grill out there in Blue Hawk.
I'm going to get introduced to Ryan.
Whew, get some tacos.
We'll get into that a little bit later.
They have a salmon taco out there that is just tremendous.
Ooh, sounds good.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah. I bet it is. Speaking of what's not good is apparently Twitter in Brazil.
No Twitter allowed in Brazil. Yeah.
It's
crazy.
No X.
No X. Geo-fence that country. Twitter
Anti-X.
Is banned. Yeah.
NFL opens the season in Brazil for the first time, I think, in the history of the NFL.
Ever. Yep.
Friday night, it is, help me out here, Philadelphia and
Green Bay. Yep.
And the Packers, right?
The two teams wearing green that are the gang colors in Brazil. Makes a lot of sense by the NFL,
which is where a lot of people are very in tune to their phones.
Yeah.
Again, no tweeting from the game.
No, the Twitter's not allowed in the country. And apparently, like, I don't know if they geofence it, but I heard Ben Maller say, like, if you send a tweet or something from Brazil, it's a $900 fine.
Good Lord. Good lordy, Lori.
So I don't know what NFL reporters are going to do and teams are going to do not being able to have X. I think it's going to be refreshing.
You're kind of like team okay with this.
Yeah, I'm fine with it. I don't care. It doesn't bother me. I'm not going to Twitter on Friday night looking for my NFL information. I don't know. Maybe I'm just weird of that nature. But if I'm watching the game on Friday night, I'm watching the game. I don't need to hear, from, some reporter sitting at the game, quite frankly, for any game, and them telling me their thoughts as we're in the moment of the game. Sometimes you look at these reporters, and especially for college basketball, right? They're all looking down at their monitors, not even watching the game anyway. So I'm good with this. I think it's going to be nice to see a game where you don't have to be reliant on Twitter or reliant on X and immediately try to get everything up there. Let the game take place, man. This is like retro football. This is 2005, 2006 all over again. We don't have to be immediately tweeting everything, and you can just kind of enjoy the game and watch the game.
I remember discovering that in college when I covered the Vols basketball team for a couple years, going, well, you guys aren't even watching the game.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I'm the fans know more about the team than you.
Yeah, like Josh and I used to talk about it all the time. Like, look at all these reporters sitting at these KU games.
Yeah.
Every one of them is buried into their laptop.
Tweeting, got to be the first, got to be the first.
Yeah, worried about what somebody else is tweeting, what they should be tweeting, what else is going on. Like,
sucks.
Be in the moment. And I think it's good. I'm fine with it. But what I'm not fine with is I was reading a story this morning on it's dangerous down there, folks, like dangerous where the teams are not allowed to leave their hotels. And most players are telling their friends and family, do not come to this game. Philadelphia is flying in like Wednesday, playing the game and flying out immediately after the game on Friday. It's going to be real interesting to see how this goes down and to see if this becomes something that is a yearly event down in Brazil or if this is just going to ultimately be a one-off. And we'll know a lot more after Friday and Saturday on how this was received down in Brazil. But I didn't realize, I guess, how scary a situation this was going to potentially be for some of these players. Yeah,
yeah, I remember.
Or both of these teams, I should say.
I kind of follow soccer loosely, and I just always knew that, like, Brazil's never, like, a popular place for, like, the American team, or, like, it's just like,
Didn't we just have the Olympics there?
Correct. Yeah, so it's just kind of like one of those things where it's like,
Anything the, for the dollar, I
the
guess.
The perception
huh?
of certain, you know, countries by them is different. Now, obviously, like, some of the most beautiful women are in the country of Brazil. But again, I'll digress on that. But I think it is interesting for once, because I'll find myself like this every once in a while, Bob. Like, I'll be watching a game and I'll tell myself, I'll go to my Twitter profile, my ex profile. Like, okay, Dusty, just put the phone down. Enjoy the game.
Yeah.
Everybody's watching the same thing. You're just tweeting the same thing everybody else is tweeting.
Correct. Yeah.
And it's okay to, like, you know, set it to the side. Being banned in the Friday night game is interesting. And like you said, you know, who needs it more as an NFL person? Is it Schefter? Is it Rapport? Is it, you know, Pelissero? Is it any of those guys? Because, like, at one point I was, you know, I had notifications set for Rapport and Schefter, and it would just be like the same thing over and over again. I was like, this is killing my mental. I just need one of them.
I know. Like, I can't do notifications because of the mental side of
things.
I'm
just like, it'd be like, right? Ding, ding, ding. I'm like, I don't care that Jackson Smith just signed an extension with Cincinnati as a backup left tackle.
Right.
Like, I don't need that. That's just a random name.
But I know,
it's just,
yeah.
You know, it's one of those things where, like, sometimes the games are, like, Thursday night, man. Like, when it gets to, like, 7 o'clock, I'll be recliner, staring directly into my TV, listening to pregame on 96.5 The Fan, listening to Mitch and Dana and all these guys,
right,
getting ready for the game. And then once the game starts, it's like, boom, let's go.
Let's go, yeah.
And speaking of let's go.
And that's kind of where I am. Like, I found myself, as the years go on, less and less a part of Twitter during games because it made me angry. Like, yeah, like the first 5 minutes in, people are already complaining about it. It's a 60-minute game. We've right. seen this team before. So I've kind of separated myself from that during a game because it's just a lot of white noise out there. Everybody's tweeting the same thing, and I'm just like, yeah, just kind of keep my thoughts to myself and write them down in my notebook.
That's right about it. We talked about beautiful women in Brazil. How about beautiful men from Kansas City that talk about the Chiefs a lot? Dana Hughes joins the show now. Dana, my man, how are you doing on this Tuesday morning, my guy?
Hey, it must be opening week when you start putting me in the sentence with Brazilian women and beautiful. Like, yeah, we're definitely waiting for some football here in Kansas City.
Well, anyway, I'm just trying to put a smile on your face on this Tuesday morning, Dan. You got a big week coming up, and I got some bad news. We ain't talking Royals and Iowa football, baby. We talking Chiefs.
Bring it on.
Well, how was the golf yesterday? Did you manage to get on the island hole? I saw you tweeting a little bit from that yesterday.
Yeah, that was actually from the other day. I just got around to posting it, but yes, I did make it on the island. I did not birdie it, but I did par it. So I did
good.
Two putt, but it was, I felt good about myself. So I go ahead and post that picture.
Yeah. You have to love up yourself. Nobody else will. Right. let's talk about what we've got at stake here beginning on Thursday night. Just talking to some people over the Labor Day weekend, I got more and more of a feel, Dana, of just how important this three-peat is, not just to Patrick Mahomes and to the offense, but to the defense as well. I'm told Spags is as fired up as he's ever, and he's not about to let this top five defense become anything but a top five defense. You've got a quarterback who's looking at legacy and a coach who's looking at legacy and a coach and quarterback who are ticked about what went on last season from an offensive standpoint. You got a defense that refuses to be out of the top five again. Like, this is all converging for one hell of a season here in Kansas City.
Yeah, how about that? I mean, it's a different kind of energy, Bob. It's a different kind of feel. And I think it's really cool because obviously we grew up in the era where you didn't have any bulletin board material, don't provide it. You know, walk softly, carry a big stick, all of those different cliches. And, like, you didn't hear the different teams talk about a three-peat. You didn't hear from the beginning, and not even from the beginning of the season. You look back, you think about the New England Patriots, you think about the Dallas Cowboys. Those are teams that come to mind just off the top of my head that had opportunities. They weren't talking about it in the beginning of the season. And this team not only has been talking about it, but they talked about it before they even touched the trophy in Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick Mahomes was talking about it. So I love that they've embraced the opportunity. They're embracing the opportunity to make history, and they've been embracing it since February. And I think that's really cool. And it's not just about a couple of players that are bold in the media, and then some other guys follow behind them. It's from the top down. Clark Hunt, Mark Donovan, Brett Veach, Andy Reid, and all the players we know as well. And to me, that's refreshing. I think in Chiefs Kingdom, some people might, you know, be superstitious and think, oh my gosh, you know, we're setting ourselves up for failure. I love that bravado. I love, hey, you're going to have every team's best because we're the two-time Super Bowl winners. They're going to come in here. thinking that they can beat us and that their season's going to be made beating us. I'm sure there are teams that are looking back at what Carpenter and what the Detroit Lions did last year and coming in here, winning a game when we didn't have Travis Kelce, we didn't have Chris Jones. They beat us by 1 point, but what did that do for them? What did that do for their psyche in the rest of the season where they got to the NFC Championship? Other teams are going to be looking at that and saying, you know what, if we can go in there and do the work that we need to, who knows how that's going to catapult that particular organization for the rest of the season. So you got the oncomers, you know what you're in store for, and you're still embracing history. I think it's really cool.
You mentioned some guys being out last year. We're talking to Dana Hughes, the color commentator for the Chiefs on their Chiefs Radio Network. You can hear their game on 96.5 The Fan on Thursday night here in Kansas City. Dana, last year it was, you know, the big question, like, who's going to be the wide receiver that steps up? Last year, two guys were out, Jones and Kelce. This year, first game, no Hollywood Brown, big acquisition you made in the offseason. Rashee Rice still there, Xavier Worthy, the drafted pick, still there. Other guys in this offense still capable. Is there anything in particular that maybe you're going to see in this game or look at in this game where, like, last year you're like, man, if we had that, it could have been a different start, whereas this year you have it now and it could be a different dynamic on this offense?
Yeah, I think for me, it's about the vertical passing game. And specifically when you're talking about this team, last year pretty much had the same question, and you thought maybe it was going to be Kadarius Toney. And you guys, it's not to knock him while he's down because we got rid of him, but you guys have heard me talk about the one thing that I thought was missing in his game was lining up on the outside of the numbers, on the inside of the numbers, and running vertical routes. We saw the horizontal routes, the jet sweeps, the arrow routes on the outside. And we've seen a little bit of that from Rashee Rice going, you know, across the field, shallow crosses, deep crosses, corner routes, out routes, making guys miss in the open field. I want to see the guys go north-south. I want to see vertical game down the field, which means Xavier Worthy, when Hollywood Brown comes back as well. Let's see how we stretch the field so we can make it a little less polluted in the middle of the field when the Rashee Rices and the Travis Kelces and even Isaiah Pacheco out of the backfield catch the ball and have maybe a little bit more real estate to run. So for me, it's kind of seeing, okay, like, how is this offense going to grow? And that's crazy to say when you talk about winning two Super Bowls and having the best quarterback in the game. But that's the part on offense that I want to see is stretching the field, getting those yards, the chunk yardage from the catch, not from catch and run, but just from the catch alone. I thought we saw glimpses of that in the preseason.
Talk with Dan and Hughes here on 610 Sports, or not 610 Sports Radio, 96.5 The Fan. How about that? That's all right. A little retro action, Dan.
Throwback, yeah.
A little throwback, right? Because we're both old. So I think when I'm looking at this team, like, I don't feel like there's any pressure on the Chiefs at all to go 3-peat. Like, I know they know what they need to do. I feel like there's more pressure on the 31 other teams to stop the Chiefs than there is on the Chiefs to go out there and win this thing.
Absolutely. I think, you know, when you look at this team and the construction of this team, you got to give Brett Veach and Andy Reid a lot of credit and the scouting department for putting together another championship quality team, addressing some necessary spots. I wouldn't say there were absolute needs, but there were definitely spots that needed to be filled. And we're putting our best foot forward. We got everybody signed as quickly as possible. We don't have the headaches that you see in Dallas and the quarterback question marks that you see in Pittsburgh and the holdouts and the thoughts that you see with the San Francisco 49ers and the Cincinnati Bengals. Like, all of that extra stuff was put to bed pretty much back in March and April. And you have to commend them for that because the job at hand has been the job at hand. And that's what we're looking at. So going into this game, you're right. The other 31 teams have to figure out ways to stop the Chiefs. When we were not necessarily our best last year, those teams couldn't do it. And when all the criticism was about Patrick Mahomes and wondering if he could win in the playoffs on the road, he did. They couldn't do it. So, yeah, we can stick our chest out a little bit about what we were able to accomplish in the past, but to me, now it's about the focus on the future. And you're even hearing the quotes from the guys talking about that. Like, okay, we're going to drop the banner, and we got one last celebration, and we get a round of applause from the Chiefs faithful, and then let's get back to business and winning this third Super Bowl.
It's almost like that banner is going to get in the way of what they want to accomplish. You know, like, it's like, yeah, it's great. We've got our rings. We had our celebration, but it's time to go send a message. And when Patrick Mahomes has his mind made up, ain't nobody going to stop it, right? Like, I feel like, and I know it's hyperbolic, but I feel like every game they want to win 72-0, and they want to throw 75-yard touchdown passes all over the place to show everybody, hey, we're back, baby. A 2-time Super Bowl champion having to announce that they're back. And that's kind of like, that's kind of what this season is about.
Yeah, absolutely is about. And how about the fact, and I thought maybe last year we would have seen this, but the NFL decided to bring in the Detroit Lions for the opening weekend. I thought maybe last year would have been an opportunity to bring in the Cincinnati Bengals for opening night just to add a little gasoline to the fire. But now the Ravens, your last game of the season was against the Chiefs on your home field, and now you have to endure the banner dropping and everything happening during the pregame ceremony and leading up to kickoff. That's going to add a little juice to them as well. So we're going to have to withstand that emotional kind of wave that happens in the beginning of every game, but even more so in the beginning of the opening game by the Ravens, because they were the jilted lovers. They were the team that had the NFL MVP and who everyone thought was going to go and coast into the Super Bowl, and that did not happen. So a lot of dynamics going on this week, but I like where our focus is. The focus on the task at hand, it's about each week. And make no mistake about it, fans, we're not overlooking people and thinking about making our plans to New Orleans that right here in September. The fact is, that's the goal. You can have a goal and still talk about the goal, but not lose focus on the week-to-week process, and that's where we are.
Dana, we had a topic earlier because Marcus Spears said something that Patrick Mahomes has cost a bunch of people a championship and that the Super Bowl goes through 15. And after you've watched him for these last, 7 years, I know you grew up watching Michael Jordan. I know you grew up watching Tiger Woods. Do you see that same sort of like genetic build where, you were there for the 13-second game? And I mean, I remember listening to the audio and it's just kind of like, well, we'll see what happens. And then by the end of it, it's just like Dana laughing because there's nothing else to say except I don't know what I've just seen. Kind of like Tiger down by 4 strokes on a Sunday and all of a sudden he wins the tournament by 3 and you're just like, I have no words.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those deals. It's kind of the aura around Patrick Mahomes. And you bring up Michael Jordan. Like, the first thought that came to mind as you said that was him ripping the ball from Karl Malone in the final seconds and then dribbling the ball down the court and everyone else clearing out. It's like, all I could do is just laugh, like here we go again. And then you think about those shots from Tiger Woods and the wins. That's what you see in Patrick Mahomes is like, okay, we got 13 seconds. You guys heard it on the clips. You heard me giggling in the background. It's not because we're looking at comedy. It's just more of like we're looking at magic, and that's what the reaction you get from me is when I'm watching a magician do his business. I'm just giggling on the side because I'm like, this is like the most entertaining thing I could experience in this moment. And that's what you get when you have greatness. And that's what we've had. And as a generation, I spoke at Arrowhead Stadium for the media opening for high school football around the Kansas City area last week. And the energy generated in that area is so cool. But there's a generation of high school kids, middle school kids, young kids that think this is normal. Right, they think this is normal, what we've been able to experience. And, like, we're sitting around, like, old men getting off our lawn, like, you don't know what it was like in the 90s and the 2000s before Patrick Mahomes. You have no idea. Well, yeah, we need to relish this opportunity and recognize greatness when we see it.
Any concerns, Dana, heading into this season for the Chiefs?
Well, there's always a concern of injuries. Injuries are going to happen. It's just a matter of when and to what extent. So you always wonder about when that happens. The other one is the week 6 bye. It's as early a bye that I can remember. We've usually had the byes in the November and December area, which I thought was cool because it allowed us to kind of take a breath and then be ready to exhale for the rest of the season, the final 6, 7, 8 weeks of the season to the Super Bowl. So having it this early is a little bit concerning to me. And then just withstanding everybody's best, you just kind of wonder. We play a lot of close games. We figure out ways to win, which I know there's teams like the Chargers and others that figure out ways to lose close games. We figure out ways to win. So you just want to make sure you put yourself in the best position and continue to do so. But I love the roster construction. I love the depth. I love the fact that we have a lot of guys that have been around this organization and championship-style football, and they know what it takes. And if it's a Sky Moore that's maybe sixth on the depth chart, we know and we feel comfortable that if he's in the game, and he's able to make a play because we've seen him make the plays in crucial situations. So, like, I look at the roster construction, the Joshua Williams, and the, who's going to fill in for Legarius Sneed while he's gone. And I just feel like we got guys that are confident that can make the plays when necessary because we've seen them make specific plays on en route to Super Bowl. So I'm cool with all of that. I'm amped up. I know it's Tuesday. I got two more sleeps. Until the
keep
game
it together,
day.
Danan. Keep it together.
I got a woosah.
Hey, you know, it's interesting, though. I asked you what your biggest concerns were about the Chiefs. And if I asked your counterpart in any other city, you know, in Cincinnati, they're probably saying, I don't know, getting these guys signed. Are they going to show up? Mm-hmm. You know, Houston, are they going to have a sophomore slump? Buffalo, they got no wide receivers. You went to injuries that could happen. The bye being placed too early in the season and withstanding everybody's best. Like, that's a pretty good list. Like, it's almost like insulting to the rest of the league that your biggest concern is the bye placement this year.
Well, and it just goes to show you that I have been programmed, like all of us in the Chiefs kingdom, when coaches say it's about us, not about them.
Yeah.
That's what it really is. And we are fortunate where there's a lot of teams in the NFL that are going to say, it's about them, maybe not us. Now we're the ones that can say, if we do what we can do, if we stay healthy, if we, you know, run the course the way Andy wants to lead us that way, we'll be with February. And that's a great feeling.
All right, Dana, we'll have a good call, and you get that woosah and get you a nice meal before Thursday night's game, because I know for damn sure you're not sleeping Wednesday night.
Yeah, this is great that I have this call with you guys on Tuesday morning, because if it was any closer to game day, like, I'd blame you guys for the lack of sleep. So, yeah, I appreciate it.
Hey, no problem, man. Take
care,
Dan.
Enjoy Taco Tuesday.
All right, guys.
Danan Hughes, color commentator for Chiefs Radio Network. You can hear that Chiefs game here on your home for Kansas City Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan. Of course, this is Fesco and Dusty, and it's brought to you by Rainier Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster has patented MyQ technology and is the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainierKC.com. We dive back into what was probably the worst weekend for anybody for the Kansas City Royals, because everybody else had a good one. They, not so much. Fesco and Dusty, 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
And welcome back into 96.5 The Fan on a show that we call Fesco and Dusty with our executive producer, Mac Morey, as well. Happy Tuesday morning. You are, what, about a day and a half away from just absolutely losing your damn mind because football's back and it starts in your own city and it starts on your radio station for Kansas City Chiefs football right here. On 96.5 The Fan.
What's Friday going to be like in this town?
Hungover.
Like, is anybody doing anything Friday in Kansas City?
Yeah, I'm getting ready to watch that Brazil game.
That's right. That's right. That is Friday night. Yeah.
That's what I love, man. You get the Royals tonight and tomorrow night.
That's right.
On 96.5 The Fan. Vern's pregame show will start at 5:30 both nights. His on-deck show here. Then the first pitch, 6:40. Not only that, then Thursday night you get the Chiefs.
Right.
Friday night you get
Royals.
You get the tormented Philadelphia Eagles season that starts against the Green Bay Packers and Max MVP candidate in Jordan Love.
Let's go. No team needs the season to start more than Philadelphia, though. I mean, my God, the national perception versus the local perception. I saw a tweet today from our sibling station, WIP in Philadelphia. Nick Sirianni saves his job if, like, I'm like, God, it's Tuesday, man. This I mean, started. Don't worry about Nick Sirianni keeping his job in Philadelphia. The rest of the NFL world's like, I think Philadelphia's going to be pretty good this year. And inside Philadelphia, like, oh my God, we suck.
Before we get into Royals baseball here to finish 7 o'clock hour,
Breaking news at the NFL, left tackle, all pro left tackle, Trent Williams, and the Niners are finalizing his contract, ending his holdout, meaning he will be ready to join the team ahead of week one's Monday Night Football game against the Jets.
Well, good.
Same story, different year. San Francisco goes all the way to the end and signs a major player.
Right.
Debo Samuel, they did it. Bosa, they did it. Kind of did it with Ayuk.
Yeah.
He was pissed all year. And then Trent Williams, also pissed, is now also getting paid.
All the trade rumors were coming out over the weekend of what teams were offering for Brandon Ayuk. And it was like second and third round draft picks. Some of them didn't have a player involved and things of that nature in San Francisco. Like, nah, we're not that interested in doing that kind of deal. And there was one team, I want to say it was New England, who was not even going to talk to Brandon Ayuk about signing a long-term deal. And Ayuk's like, I'm not doing that.
Yep.
You know?
See ya. It's like when the Chiefs offered Odell Beckham Jr. $1.3 million.
Yeah.
Say, hey, come here if you want. And then Odell Beckham Jr. is on the Miami Dolphins roster, but yet no one's seen him.
Yeah, so like, what is his role here? What would you say you do here? Like, I mean, talk about a guy who's benefited over his name more than his actual performance. My God. Like, Odell Beckham Jr. is the ultimate cooler for these teams. He had that hot minute with the Rams and blew out his knee. But other than that, man,
he was that close to being Super Bowl MVP.
He really was. He was so good. But yeah, to your point, he hasn't done anything since 2021.
No, he's done nothing. And every year his name comes up, we're all like zombies. Odell Beckham Jr. Yeah, he hasn't done anything in like 5 years.
Welcome to it. Your guy, Brady Singer, takes a slab tonight.
Big game for Brady. Let's go, Brady.
Stop the bleeding of six in a row. This weekend, tough for the Royals. Now, again, I'm always going to try to be the glass half full guy with baseball. 25 games left in the season. You still have a 4.5 game up on Boston. You're still 5 up on Detroit as a wild card spot. I still believe this team is going to be a playoff team, but it does hurt. It's depleting when you see 6 losses in a row, especially getting swept in Houston.
And having your longest losing streak of the season at this point sucks too. Yeah.
And that's all started with the snowball effect that was the Vinny Pasquantino injury. We can get back into his audio a little bit later. We played it earlier in the 7 o'clock hour. If you missed it, feel free to go back and listen on the Odyssey app. But they lost in all possible ways, from getting kicked in the teeth to losing in a walk-off hit on, I think it was Friday night, coming back, losing the lead. And then yesterday, it was just kind of one of those games where it's like they were hanging around. It was, 1-0. It was 1-1. Then it was all of a sudden out of nowhere, it was 4-1. And it hurt. But again, they're still a playoff team. But the one thing that I have to ask is, where did you let your expectations go? Did you let your expectations go to winning the division? That's still a possibility. You win these next two games against Cleveland, you're right back to being 2.5
Absolutely,
out.
Yeah.
Right? Anything can happen. You also still have tiebreaker over Cleveland. So win 2 more, 2.5 out, Cleveland goes into tailspin, you start to figure things out, you get this sort of rah-rah attitude from Vinny that kind of lifts up the dugout because he's there, he's physically there, you can see him, he's helping cheer on the team, maybe that helps. But when I see text messages coming from Vern's postgame show on Sunday, and it's like, oh, Vern's being a Richard, he's being mean. No, he's just trying to tell you guys that sometimes when you are capable of making your expectations go to something else, you have to live up to that. Like, you have to put yourself in that sort of situation. Like, if you think they're a World Series or bust this year, that's on you. We said at the start of the season, ride this cruise ship all the way to the start of the NFL season. We led a show where the Chiefs play in 2 days with the Kansas City Royals. We've talked nothing but Chiefs and Royals instead of just Chiefs in college football. The Royals are a prominent team in baseball still. I know it's been tough. It's 6 in a row, the longest losing streak. You lose your first baseman, one of your big voices on this team, one of your big bats in the lineup, and then you went and added players, and then you saw one of those players get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you see Lucas Irsig do his, and it's just like, it seems like the sky is falling. But it is very much still there when you look at it outside of what was, underneath the microscope this weekend, which was a lot of turmoil, a lot of, stress and a lot of, uncomfortable baseball watching because of how it happened and what happened and the ways that it happened.
You asked about World Series or bust and when this has become kind of the mantra for Royals fans. And I really do go back to John Sherman the day that he hired JJ and replaced Dayton as general manager, because I just want to see what a wild card team has looked like, because the expectation in Kansas City because of what the Royals and what the Chiefs have done is either we play in that last game or the season wasn't a success. Now, it is is that way for the Chiefs. There's no question about it. Anything short of a Super Bowl is an unsuccessful season. But with the Royals, I think just making it to the playoffs makes it a successful season. We have to get out of that mindset of every season needs to end with a World Series Game 7 or a World Series Game 5. Like, that's just been kind of unique in the last couple of years that we made it into the postseason, that we made it all the way to that final game and we're playing in the World Championship that year. That is not the reality in which we live. And so if you have that expectation of World Series or bust, well, then you probably should stop watching the rest of the way, because there's a really good chance that this organization gets into the postseason but doesn't make it to the World Series, especially with the bullpen the way it is, especially with Vinny the way that it is right now. And they're kind of, you know, scuffling a little bit, and that's okay. They'll find a way to get back. But if this team ends up going to the playoffs, it's a successful season. Hell, if this team falls short of the postseason, it's still a successful season because of where they were, where they are, and the blueprint you can see for the future. You know what John Sherman's about. You know what J.J. Piccolo's about. You know what players are going to be here. You can actually invest for the first time, really maybe ever, in a jersey for your kid in Bobby Witt Jr. because you know he's locked up for a long-term, you know, period of time here in Kansas City. There's so many things going in the right direction for the Royals. The Pasquantino injury, though, crushes you tonight. Sure. This Tanner Bibee, who's pitching for the Royals, or for the Indians tonight, Pasquantino's hitting .750 off him, 6-for-8 with two homers this season.
Yeah.
That's a loss right there. Like, Vinny has dominated this guy. So who's going to pick it up? Well, it's not going to be the cat they picked up that used to be on Houston in Gurriel, because he blew his hamstring running to second base yesterday. So not only do you lose Vinny, you just lost the guy who replaced Vinny Pasquantino. So now you got to recover for two guys. And so we'll see how it all plays out and what happens. But by God, this team with 25 games to go has led us on a great ride. You got to feel really good about the Royals as an organization sitting here today on September 3rd, knowing which direction that they're heading.
Got to love it. Just get into the playoffs and see what magic can happen after that, because that's where it all goes down. I saw a story this weekend. I want to get into the text line and maybe callers, 913-586-7965. Former Chiefs player, got inducted into a college Hall of Fame. Next up, Ring of Honor. Or also a discussion of how underappreciated one might be when it comes to the Chiefs' history. Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens, 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP,
you deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap.
one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.